Hello, everybody, and welcome to Out Comes the Sun podcast radio show. Gosh, you can see us everywhere now. With my wonderful co-host and best friend, Melissa Yamaguchi, and I'm Marielle Hemingway. Welcome to 2024. It's a new year.
I mean, and the years just keep on rolling. It's hard to keep up with everything.
You know what's really interesting is being the age that I am now, how, you know, you hear it as your kids are growing up, you hear it as you're younger, you know, as you get older, time just starts to, the years go by so quickly. It's bizarre.
It is. It's weird. It's bizarre. I mean, over the holidays, my kids were talking to me about age and my son said, "Oh, Mom, in 20 years, you're going to be 80. And I just went, I mean, it like dead stopped me right in my tracks, because I mean, when you're 30, you're going to turn 50, you kind of think, oh my God, 50 so old from 30. But when you're 40, you're going to turn 60, you go, okay, that's fine. But when you're 60 to hear you're going to be 80 is weird, dude. It's weird. It kind of messed with me mentally for a little bit.
Oh yeah. No, I get you. Well, I'm down here in Florida where people, there are more, you know, elderly people down here. And man, the amount of people down here that are not healthy, that just breaks my heart. It's like they don't know. And as they get older, you know, and I've been reading different things about how when you age, you crave more sugar. And of course, the craving of sugar creates problems in the brain.
Oh, sure.
You know, why? It's why, you know, I'm not saying that this is the cause of senility or Alzheimer's, but certainly having a poor diet and a diet high in sugar, alcohol, whatever else, is just not your friend, right? But as you get older, there's this kind of, and I think it's a lack of doing, like here you are, you're bored. It's the days are long, you know, they seem long, even though they're racing, our lives are racing by, but the days are long, right? So there's boredom, and people eat out of boredom. They eat emotionally. They didn't see their family over the holiday. You know, there's so many reasons why we use food improperly, really.
Well, and everything's centered around food. I was talking with a friend of mine who was saying that she's like, you know, if you're trying to pull back from unhealthy food and maybe partnering up with friends that you like who don't eat as healthy, it becomes very challenging to find activities to do together. It's kind of like if you're dry and you say, I don't drink anymore, and your buddies will like, hey, let's just meet up at a bar and I'll have a beer. You can get a Coca-Cola. Well, or you can get an iced tea. It still is a weird dynamic, but we do that with food. And most people do eat unhealthy. And the weird thing about sugar, when you're saying that, is that we know sugar feeds inflammation. So a brain that is in cognitive decline is riddled with inflammation. So that sugar is just pumping it like gasoline to a fire. It's scary.
Absolutely. And nobody realizes that it's that inflammation, not just of the body. So, you know, yet they see all these things, you see turmeric and all these things you're supposed to take, but that it's brain, it's neuroinflammation, inflammation, which is causing the issues, especially for the elderly.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, and I got hit with the same thing, like thinking, you know, you're sitting on the plane, you feel different, things don't, I don't know, my legs hurt more, I don't know, like things are different, right? Yeah. And you think, oh my God, in 20 years, what is this going to feel like? Like, what am I going to be like? It propels me to learn more, to be healthier. Like, how can I change this trajectory? I don't believe that we have to buy into, okay, we're just sliding downhill.
No,
there's just no way. No,
not when there's too many doctors coming out of Harvard and University of Texas or wherever they're coming from that are saying you got to treat aging like a disease.
Yes,
you can get older, but you don't have to age. And so it really depends on all of your choices. And I gotta, speaking of the University of Texas, if I can share something with you that I read, listen, lady, we're in trouble. Neuroscientists who are working on something called BCI, which is brain computer interfacing, have now discovered how to read your brain waves and convert it to text. Now,
what?
The terrifying thing about that, as I'm sure everyone can understand, is if you lose your mental privacy, your thoughts are the very essence of who you are. And they now are able to read your brain waves, transfer it into text, and know exactly what you're thinking. That's terrifying. So I think we need to let we need to protect our neuro rights.
Absolutely.
Our neuro rights.
Holy crap. I mean, it's about to be an actor where you know your face is going to be used, and then they're going to make you 13, 12,
that's
28,
right,
whatever, 160, and it's all with that, you know, you
AI.
Pay, sorry.
Right.
That is frightening.
Yeah,
that
it is. And the more, you know, it's kind of like the frog in the boiling pot, where you just slowly increase the heat before the frog understands that it's being cooked. This is what our audience, you, me, everyone needs to be aware that this is happening, so that we need to try to figure out how do we protect our rights, our neuro rights. And that's what these are. These are your neuro, NEURO rights. How do you protect your thoughts? I mean, for the love of Job, there's 1984, Big Brother, the thought police. I mean, this is like really weird, weird stuff.
No, it's really weird.
Yeah, it is.
The things that you think, oh, they'll never will, but
yeah. And here we are. Here we are.
If it's come up, it's already happening. It's happening.
Yes, it's already happening.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
So how do you protect yourself from that happening to you?
Well, if what I'm going to do is I'm going to start researching. There's got to be young attorneys or middle-aged or old attorneys, we're not biased here, who are studying the effects of the onslaught of AI for its good and for its bad. We know that in education, and we know that in some health measures, it can be good. But when it comes to destroying your privacy, it's what we need to cut. We really need as a people to step in and say enough, enough. And what do we need to do to protect ourselves? You know, in the acting world, acting and writing world, you had staunch advocates out there marching and fighting to protect writers and actors against AI and their rights being taken away. We have to do the same thing. We have to find attorneys who are equipped, who know how to protect us in this, because this is a thing. This is a definite thing.
It's a definite thing. And that's like, I'm not, you know, Bobby always thinks we're being followed, you know, by our phones and all that stuff. And I suppose we are. And I've never been I don't worry about that, but I do. I would feel incredibly like violated if my thoughts were invaded. I mean, probably it's almost as bad as being physically violated. I don't know why that just feels so.
It's horrible, because your thoughts are the very essence of who you are. Your thoughts are yours and yours alone.
You know, and let's just say, I don't do work on myself, and I have some pretty, you know, messed up thoughts, or I think horrible thoughts about myself. You know, you don't want people to know that you're. Yeah, I don't know the things that could happen. Oh my God, the domino.
What if you're having a thought? What if someone cuts you off in traffic and you think, I wish you would just drive off the cliff, you dirty. And then your thoughts are being translated out that you're what?
Yes.
Premeditated murder. I mean, it's weird. Exactly. It's weird. It's invasive. We have to know our rights.
We do have to know our rights, and we can't be worried that, you know, granted, in a self-help world, you do want to worry about your thoughts, because, you know, thoughts are powerful,
yeah.
Words are powerful, all of that. But also, your thoughts being translated into words,
yeah,
you know, taken from you and translated into words, it brings even more energetic power to those words.
Yeah.
It puts it out into the universe, even in a bigger way, even though we should all have really good thoughts, but we don't always, you know, we get frustrated. We want to kick somebody or something, you know, that when we're frustrated, but we don't do it, but we think we do think it.
I mean, you're on a job interview And you're a nervous wreck and you're interviewing and you're thinking, oh my God, I hope I said the right thing. Or you're thinking, this cow better give me the job, or whatever you're thinking, whatever you're thinking. I mean, there's a million reasons why we have to be afraid of it. But we need to know about it so that we can start fighting it. I'm seriously going to start trying to find out who is studying this as an attorney for the rights, because this is going to be a major thing. It's been out in the papers. And my son, Nova's in college this semester, is taking neuroscience pharmacology. So he's going to be learning what different medicines and vitamins do to the brain. And so I was telling him about this article, and he's going to bring it up. He's also taking developmental neuroscience. So he's going to bring it up to his professors and talk to them about it. And I said, find out everything you can about this so that we are better equipped to protect ourselves. And then Marilyn, I put it on the show and we'll talk about it. And we'll, I'll start following up on this so we can report back and discuss it, because this is serious stuff.
This is serious stuff. And I think that everybody listening, everybody in the world, all the, you know, people are, we're normal people. We're not like high end trying to change the world, manipulate other humans, get as much as we can. And it's wrong that there are powers that be that have the power.
Yeah.
Invade your thoughts to do what, to do whatever, you know, it's, you know, with Bobby, we talked about when you were away in Europe, Bobby and I talked about stratosphere. And one of the big things about stratosphere that we're trying to make sure happens is that the software and the information you put in, your physical information, and also the physical information that we get back from doing the chamber, whatever, whether it's your blood pressure and all these things, but you will have a history, and we need to know what your history is. But we also want that software to be protected because it's your information.
Yes, and yes, we yes.
We should own our thoughts. We should own our information. That is so scary. I want to talk to Tom Albert about that, because he does so much, software stuff with, measured risk, measuring the risk of whatever it is.
And it's called BCI. He'll know about it. It's called BCI. It's brain computerized interfacing. And it's, I mean, the guys that they did the test on at University of Texas were wearing caps. But they're saying it's getting to the point now where you can just be holding your phone. And I also read another thing that I think is interesting to talk about, as far as being controlled, and being the invasiveness of losing some of our autonomy, is the algorithms that social media follows us on put us in bubbles. So if the ads that come on my Instagram, for example, show cookware or kitchen appliances, and I click on it because I'm interested to see what it's talking about, then it's locked into an algorithm that keeps me in that loop, whatever those people who buy that stuff would typically continue to buy. So it continues to feed me the same thing. And they do that on the Netflix and the Hulu. If you like the show, they say, do you like this? And then they start feeding you more like that. And the danger, what I was reading about this morning, or recently, I'm sorry, was the danger is that it flatlines who we are. So that we're just in this bubble of the same likes, the same interests, the same, the same, the same. And the only way that we can grow and expand and progress is to stretch ourselves and to hear a different thought and to read a different perspective and to be exposed to something we'd have never thought of before. But to be in this loop really is, and the term that was used that I really, it struck a nerve because I understand it, it's flatlining us. And it just flatlines us. It makes us boring and mundane. And we're just like little in our little lane. We're staying in our lanes. Well, sometimes I want to go in the other lane and find out what they're doing.
Well, I mean, getting back to aging, the worst thing you can do is the same thing. Yeah. You know, the same thing over and over. And, you know, I always have been a very ritualistic and I like routine. It's just, it makes me feel safe, but I have to push myself to not, because it's important for my neuroplasticity. Yep. You know, it's very important that we do different things. We don't want to flatline on anything.
No,
it's horrible. I was thinking about Because you know how sometimes you go and you rent an Airbnb, like we're in an Airbnb in Florida, and if you turn their Apple TV on and they've got somebody else's Netflix. Right. And you go, holy crap. You know, because you thought that all the 10 most watched shows were the 10 most watched shows. And then you find out that
that's they've got
9,000 10 top shows. Right.
Exactly.
I've got white girl, whatever white girl prime shows from London. That's basically or Scandinavia. But it's interesting. But it is interesting because, and it's why I love our friendship so much, because you and I mean, not that we're super not similar, but there's, that you watch different things, I watch, and we keep each other kind of like on the edge of doing new things, right?
That's exactly right.
Something new, you tell me about it. I learn something new, I tell you about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. I think that's why friendships can be so important.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
You share those aha moments. It's like, oh my gosh, I just discovered this, especially as we get older. It's like, and that's, I'm looking at Bobby's parents down here in Florida, and I see they're so isolated. They're watching the same news and the same thing, and not a judgment. It's just like, I get sad that they're not getting out there. I know his dad loves, like, once a week he goes to a car show because he's, he used to fix cars and do all kinds of stuff. And that's great for him. But his mom doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Doesn't have something like that. Doesn't have that thing that gets her out of her routine.
The stimulation.
It's really havoc. It's playing havoc on her brain.
Well, I met a lady in Ojai who's, I want to say, I think she's 81, 82. And she was telling me that she was, I met her one day and I said, what are your plans for the new year? She said, oh, I'm going to go to Phoenix. I'm going blank. Where is it in where the mountains run east to west? It's the Sedona. I'm going to go to Sedona and I'm going to bring in the new year there. And I said, oh, are you staying with friends? She goes, no, I don't know anybody there. I'm just going to go stay at this really nice hotel I found. And I'm going to go there and just meet people. And I thought, what?
Wow.
I mean, in her 80s, I thought that was really cool. And then Billy has a client who gets my morning text. My energy text every morning. She gets them and she's 92. She signed up last year when she was 91. She said, this is my birthday gift to myself. And she responds to the text all the time. My team will send me a report at the end of the week of people's responses. And she's like, love this one. Uh-huh. With you, sister. I mean, she comments all the time. So it's another dialogue for her. But I thought, at the age of 92, to sign up for my morning energy text, which is so out of her world of comfort, probably. But I admire it. Yeah, I do. And I get what you're saying.
I admire that, too. I admire the people that are still yearning for more knowledge.
Yeah.
Just whatever it is. It's huge. That's a huge thing.
It's so important.
If you don't think it's important until it's like almost too late, then you're like, oh shit, I should have been doing this.
I know. And I don't, I was reading something. I was talking to someone about, you may not be able to stop. You may not be able to reverse cognitive decline, but you can stop it. You can stop it by choices that you make with your food and the different oils you put in your drinks or your oatmeal or whatever you're eating and things that you're bringing into your system to help you. But I think the fear holds a lot of people out, whether it's someone going to a new town for New Year's or doing something different. But I'm going to be honest with you. Over the holidays, I've shared this with you a little bit, and I was talking to Slater, our producer, before the show aired, that over the holidays, every single holiday, Billy and I take our kids, Seijinobu, and the four of us go away and we do stuff together. And we are so comfortable in our own rhythm, our own pace, the way we move. And there's never a need to explain, like if someone says, hey, I just want to stay back and read, the other ones will go off and go do something. There's no like, oh, come on. There's none of that. It's a real respectful, measured pace that we move at. But this holiday, we were with one of Billy's high school buddies, who's a family friend. And I mean, at breakneck speed, we were going from one thing to the next. It was like constantly moving. And I was exhausted. And then I started thinking, and my kids were, Seiji in particular, was really adjusting pretty quickly to it and moving at his pace. And it's not that he's more physically active or anything. It's just the way he sees things and he wants to move. And I kind of like to go to a local cafe and have a cup of coffee and watch the people a little bit and walk around and see a museum. I like to check it out. We were moving so quickly that I allowed myself to get very upset about it, in all honesty. And I even told him about it recently when I talked to him. I was getting bummed out. And then I thought, man, why is it so uncomfortable for me to get out of my own comfort zone, my own rhythm, my own pace? Because it works for me. I'm not straining muscles. I'm able to take in what I'm seeing. I'm able to articulate what I just experienced. But when I'm moving at his pace, I felt cheated. I felt uncomfortable. And as much as we love him as a friend, we ain't traveling together no more, sister. That ain't how I told him, ixnay on any and play to go anywhere with you, senor, because our paces are so different. And I think that's what we run into at the age of 70, 80, 90 and beyond, where it's like, this isn't comfortable. I don't want to do it.
But also, you know, I have to say that I've always been like you. I don't I've never been one to love a tour, you know, like, I don't like somebody telling me, especially if it's a vacation, we're meeting at 10, we're this, and then we go here and then we go there. It's like, that's so inorganic to me. And I also believe that when you're the kind of person, and I know you're your family, the entirety of your family are like this. When you take in information, you take it in, right? And you are exhausted because you are able to absorb a lot of history, a lot of the information, not to mention, I mean, this is your wheelhouse, energy, the energy of ancient places. Oh my God. Feel that. I'll tell you that, you know, that when I first went to, and sometimes it sounds like a ghost story, but it's not, it's just when I first went to the Vatican in Rome, I was just like, I was so excited, you know, right? I feel, you know, we stayed near where the Vatican is and near the Spanish Steps. And I walked into the Vatican and immediately I had no energy. I was exhausted. And it was so frustrating because I was really struggling to look at, you know, Michelangelo's ceiling and, you know, like the whole thing was just, it was painful.
Yeah.
The minute the moment I walked out, it was like childbirth. It was like I gave birth. I walked out and I felt fine. And I was like, what just happened? The other time this happened to me was in Hong Kong. Now, all I can say as a sensitive person, and I'm not a woo-woo person, it's just not me. I really do believe that these places hold the energy and the weight of historical things and killings and, you know, like the whatever.
Yeah.
It's huge. And you feel that if you're sensitive. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably why your vacation didn't feel like a vacation is that you're absorbing a lot of stuff.
Oh my God. I mean, listen.
Some people just look and can move on. I can't. I can't go into a museum like the Louvre. I can only do a piece of.
Little bites of it. Little bitty incremental bites.
Otherwise, that's right. I'm exhausted.
Exactly.
Because, you know, like I'm in good shape. It's nothing about being in shape. Yeah. It's about the energy that you take in from the time that they were making that to all the people around you. All of it has an effect on the human, on our human energy, I think. I mean,
oh my gosh. And now you can't go to a museum without someone protesting in some format. Different groups that are protesting. We were in Amsterdam at one point, not on this vacation, at the, I've learned, it's the Van Gogh Museum.
Yes.
We say Van Gogh, but it's the Van Gogh Museum. And there were people that were gluing themselves to the paintings. And so everyone's, and throwing paint up on them and gluing themselves. And so there were older people there that were so distressed by this total lack of respect of this historical cultural art. This, you know, I liken movie makers, filmmakers, and artists and musicians and writers to our historians, because they are encapsulating our culture at a given time. And so to walk into a museum where you have this artwork out that is overwhelming and people are throwing buckets of paint at it and then gluing themselves to it, that alone, just you could see older people having to sit down. They were so incredibly distressed by the chaos and the lack of respect. And so you talk about energy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why were people like, that's what I don't understand. It's like people getting mad about my grandfather being machismo and being a macho guy. He didn't live now.
Right.
He lived in the right. 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. So you tell me what the political landscape was then, right, and how people dealt with each other. He was right. Still a super sensitive writer. He wrote exquisitely. And if you read about any women that he wrote about, if you look at the way he wrote about them, he loved women. It wasn't like, I hate women.
Right.
This misinterpretation of a time. You can't throw paint at an artist who did their art 100-something years ago and call and say anything about today's, you know, like they
yeah, the bridge doesn't, it's not a united bridge front, but and it's just it's an attempt to get attention. But what it does energetically,
please,
I think what it does, you know, like I said, the older people were sitting down and you could just see them like, whoa, like having like really overwhelmed by everything. And people were disrupted and people were like, whoa, what are you doing? And everyone was really thrown because they'd paid to come into this museum. And now, you know, for all anybody knows, somebody saved up money to go to this museum. Yeah. And now the police are rushing in and it's like, it's chaos. So this, and you know, there are a large faction of people that believe in order to make change, you need to create chaos. But energetically, there are better methods for us to institute change rather than total chaos and mayhem. And I know that you'll see countries where people come out in droves, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, marching against what's taking place because they're wanting to institute change. And that feels chaotic if you're in the middle of that sea of people, but that's different than destruction, total annihilation and destruction to get attention. I think that we don't serve ourselves in the best way energetically. And quite frankly, speaking of energy, Mara, we're in a whole new year.
Yeah, I was just going to say to you, please tell us about this new, it's a different energy, isn't it?
A totally different energy. So we have not yet left the year of what we call the rabbit for 2023. It's officially over on February 9th, but starting February 10th, we will enter in what's known as the year of the dragon, and not the crouching tiger, hidden dragon. It's a full on dragon. And it is energetically so incredibly different than what we had last year or in previous years, because the dragon, if you look at a Chinese understanding of energy, there's 12 animals that have been assigned, and the dragon's the only one that's mystical. Everything else exists: rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, horse, sheep, right? But there is no dragon. And so because it's such a large part of the lore of China, they gave it this position, this a title and its own animal. And what it stands for is mystery, protection, defense, ego. So if you take all of those accolades that are all those characteristics of a dragon, that's what we're going to be experiencing this year. More than anything, a dragon is known for its great protection of people that it loves, and it will defend people, like put them behind it and say, get behind me, I got you. What it takes to do that, to step into someone's place and say, I've got you, I'm here to defend you, is an ego. So dragons are also known for having big egos. Like, I'll handle this, I've got this, you get behind me, I'm in charge. So we're going to see a lot of bombastic behavior with our leaders. We're going to see a lot of The good news is we're going to see a lot of protection of true, authentic relationships. Now, having said that, the one energy that really represents friendship more than any other energy is the energy of the dog. Well, the dragon is its opposite energy, so it's flying against it this year. So even though the dragon defends people, the loyalty is not as intense. So this year, everyone needs to really protect their friendships. You need to watch what you say. You can destroy a relationship, a 30, 40-year relationship, marriage, business partnership, friendship, in a matter of seconds with a few ill-chosen words, bad turn of phrase. You can completely obliterate a relationship. And also, you need to be careful who you're bringing into your world this year. And you also need to, excuse me, you also need to be careful with whom you share your private information. So, privacy, we were just talking about mental privacy, but privacy is huge this year. What you can do to protect your information so that it's not used against you or twisted and turned to someone else's favor and you're left in the dust.
Wow. This is some powerful information
Yeah.
and a little bit daunting. I mean, I think not daunting in a bad way. It's good to know because I think that we are flippant sometimes with our friends or our relationships that mean something to us. And I think just to be more mindful
Oh,
of
yeah.
how we speak to the people we love,
Yeah.
just to be mindful, not let things fly just because.
No, listen, there's a gal I know who always has these little digs. She always throws a little dig in. And I, you know me, it's unusual, but I let it slide, like three or four of them. I didn't say much, but it was right. They were sitting right in the back of my craw there. And I kept thinking, all right, lady. So just recently, she did another little wink. And I, when we were leaving and I hugged her, I said right in her ear, you need to knock that crap off. You making your little digs no longer flies with me. Now we know each other better. That needs to stop. And she went, oh, I didn't mean anything by it. And whether she did or didn't is irrelevant to me. When someone speaks to you in a way that makes you feel like, God, that didn't feel good. Like, why would you say that? Or why are you making those little digs? You've got to be able to speak up. Now, there's a way to do it non-confrontational, which for me, that was the least confrontational way I could say something to her, because the normal me would have been like, hey, and called her right on it. But I didn't do it. I kept letting things slide because I know we're transitioning into this year of the dragon, and things can just turn upside down in a matter of seconds. So we have to be wary. Now, when I study energy, you look for elements. And the five elements that we deal with are fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And you look for a balance of those in the coming year and months and what that how it lays out. Well, for the year of
Right.
dragon, there's no, zero, nada, zilch, water, no water. And what water represents is foresight, intelligence, the ability to think for yourself, which is another reason that neuro rights thing is so important. So we don't have a lot of people thinking. So don't be surprised if you see kind of an uprising, if you will, of kind of cultish behavior of people being told how to think and behave because they can't think for themselves. There's a lack of water. So bring some water into your life. More blues, more blacks, bring in water in design. Not in your bedroom, but bring water into your home, vases. I'm cultivating, along with my daughter Seiji, a sheet of recommendations. People don't have to pick it, but I'm giving them an idea of what to look for, and I'll have it on my Instagram soon. But it's you got to bring more blue in this year because there's no thinking, and you got to. I
All
want
in our
to.
house, do we get to paint? You
Yeah.
know, we have blue, Bob and I.
Yeah, you need to bring blue in for sure.
I
And
love blue. I'm
oh
a big
yeah, and you're lucky because when you walk into your house, you see water straight in the
yeah.
back, so it's healthy. And the thing is, I also want to encourage our listeners and us is to learn something new this year. I don't care if it's knitting or crocheting or painting or a new language. You got to challenge your brain to exercise and to grow. Learn something new this year, even if it's salsa dancing. It doesn't really matter what it is, but challenge yourself to expand your thinking so that you're encapsulating this. Yeah, we got to figure out a language. We're going to be speak you and I are going to be speaking, yeah, Mandarin at the end, at the by the end of the year. We're going to be speaking Mandarin. Neither one of us speak it now.
What does a dragon speak?
Ooh. I gotta go look Game of Thrones and see what they're saying.
The only place I know where the dragons are dragons. And yeah. Not people,
we gotta look at the dragon mother and find out she can lay in possibility on our let me hear something. I don't know what she was saying, something like that.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. This is so good. I love this. What a wonderful, you know, it's always a challenge, right? You know, I think that the year of the rabbit was very exciting because it was a softer year. And yeah. This is a more challenging year.
Oh yeah. Right?
Yeah. This is a more challenging year, but I think also that's exciting. It also, it invites you to go out of your comfort zone.
What it's going to do for some people, it will be, you know, the way the energy flows, it's the ebb and flow of energy. Some people will find the year a little bit easier than others. And those that, if they were my clients and I said, oh, well, this isn't necessarily an easy year for you, they like, oh no, you know, but it doesn't need to be that way. Whenever the year, whatever the year is, whenever you find out that maybe it's not the strongest year for you, what that presents to you is an opportunity for you to get your hustle sharpened, for you to move a little bit harder when you want something. It's great when stuff falls in your lap. It's great. But when you have to sharpen your skills and get out there and try a little harder, it strengthens you. It's the blade against the stone. It sharpens you. So this year for some of the energies, it doesn't come as easily. Rabbits being one of them, I'll speak for myself here. It doesn't move as easily. However, there's multiple opportunities for those that are born in the year of the rabbit, if they're willing to put in the extra work, multiple opportunities. So it's just a matter of how badly do you want it? How hard are you willing to work?
Yeah, that's so good. I love this. Well, I'm year of the ox. How am I doing?
You're one of the ones where stuff's going to be falling in your lap. Yeah, it's a good year. It's a good year for ox. Great year for rats. Rats and ox have great years. Good year.
Oh, that's oxy. What does that mean? Oh, I'm discovering the language. I'll figure it out.
And wherever it falls, whether it's your year, month, day. So if you're the day of the ox, same thing.
Right. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yes, good stuff.
Oh, cool. No, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. And everybody who's listening, if you don't know about Melissa's app and her energy reads, I really, this is not an ad. This is because she's my best friend and they're so amazing and they're so important in my life. She does an energy read and it's a text that comes to you every morning. And I have to tell you, they're extraordinary. And they really, they hit spot on. And it's not to make you fearful on a day of low energy. It's to make you aware that there are things that you can do to make low energy a benefit for you, right? Yeah. It's just how you go about the day. And what you say in that is very like, okay, you know, I encourage you to, you know, not be crazy with your words today and don't go after your friends.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, we're like for travel, like you were traveling on a day when it was like, okay, it's a crazy travel day. The more organized you are, the better.
It was a little effortful, but I was super organized. We got there on time, you know, so I had all the pieces put together. I travel again tomorrow. I don't think it's the best travel day. So
no, it's not.
Fingers crossed.
Same thing. You get there ahead of time, stay hyper organized, and you'll mitigate the stress.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, yeah. Well, this is so exciting. I love this show. I think it's encouraging for everybody to know about this new year, to know about our mind and how we have to protect it. And really, I think of anything that you go after and you have your congressman maybe look into, or your lawyer or somebody, like look into our protecting our mind. Like, you know, the information of our mind and our thoughts, they're your thoughts. You don't need to give them away and you don't need to share them with other people. Anyway, that said, thank you all for joining us on Outcomes of Sun. Remember that we do this so we have an awareness of the Mariel Hemingway Foundation, which is for mental health. It is a resource navigator just so that we can guide anybody and everybody to the right resource for them so that they have the recovery that works for them. We haven't gotten there yet. We have to raise money for that, but we just want you to know that a little bit of what we do here goes towards that. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you next time, or listen to you next time or something. Whatever. Talk to you next time. This is Melissa Yamaguchi and Mary L. Hemingway. We'll see you soon.